Good morning, everyone. Welcome. I hope you're having a good morning. It's good to be reminded of who we are in Jesus, that we are children of God, and that the last one we want to listen to are the lies of the devil, because the devil, that's in his nature. He is called in the Bible the father of lies. But we're not here to talk about him, because he doesn't rate in our opinion. We're here to talk about God. And the question I have to ask or to answer over these next few Sundays is the question that you might already have in your mind an answer to. And the question is this: What is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? Many people have their own understanding of what that might mean. There's been theological books galore on that subject of the kingdom of God, what it is. Is it here? Is it to come? Is it here but not quite here? Has it come but not quite come fully, and so forth? Well, I can tell you what the idea of the kingdom is not. Kingdom hasn't anything to do with a piece of land. It's not got anything to do with geography, like the kingdom of Fife, or our own sovereign queen, who is queen over, I think now it's 16 Commonwealth countries, and those areas are deemed to have Queen Elizabeth as their sovereign. Kingdom of God is not a place, it's not something human. You will have heard in the Bible that the phrase is used interchangeably between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And it's easy to think, oh, the kingdom of God is heaven. When we go to heaven, that's the kingdom of God. Well, that's not true, really, or fully. It's not what Jesus said. In Mark chapter 1, which we had read for us, we hear how after the baptism of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus in the form of a dove, he's anointed by Jesus, by God, and it says this in verse 14. So Jesus went back into the region of Galilee and preached the wonderful gospel of God's kingdom realm. His message was, at last the fulfillment of the age has come. It is time for the realm of God's kingdom to be experienced in all its fullness. That's from the Passion Translation. And I love that phrase, which says this: it is time for the realm of God's kingdom to be experienced in all its fullness. And I love the way they put that. You see, when John the Baptist was put into prison by Herod, it signaled the time for Jesus's ministry. John the Baptist said, after me will come somebody more powerful than I. I submerge you in water. He will submerge you in the Holy Spirit. And so in Mark 1 verse 14, Jesus comes in proclaiming the good news. So the first thing is, Jesus proclaimed the good news. This was a proclamation, an announcement. We get the word evangelism from that word, to proclaim, to teach, to herald, to declare that the kingdom of God, God's rule, God's realm has arrived. And who was that good news for? It was good news. How many of you like good news? How many of you open your the pages of your paper? I know you don't buy papers now. You get it all online, but even the ones online, so that you can find some good news. Is there any good news? You switch on that telly and you hear that word. That six-letter word over and over again, and you're absolutely fed up listening to it. Brexit. Oh my, give us a break. And it goes on, and it tells you how bad things are going to be. Oh my goodness. It's like the Reverend I Am Jolly. You know that miserable face that used to be there on Huckman ATV? Good evening. This is the season of joy. And you go, where is the good news? And it was like that in Jesus' day. Where is the good news for the people of God? And for many generations, the people of Israel had been waiting for good news. And the good news was in a man called the Messiah. When Messiah comes, it will be good news, because Messiah, and the word means anointed, he is the anointed one. And people had ingrained into them that God's special one, nothing to do with that guy that got sacked from Man United, but God's special one would come, and that he would deliver God's people from foreign occupation, from the Romans or any nation, from persecution and poverty. And so Jesus comes and proclaims the good news. I come to bring you good news, was what the angel said in the story at Christmas. There's a boy being born, and it's good news. And this was good news, that John the Baptist's ministry was coming to an end, and the good news of the kingdom had arrived. So Jesus comes in and he proclaims the good news of the kingdom. What is that good news? You're asking yourself. What is that good news? The good news is that the time has come. The time has come for God to do an amazing thing, to break in to the dark world. So Jesus proclaimed the good news. All through his ministry, he was good news. He was good news for the sinner, who was full of guilt for their sin. He was good news for the broken and the diseased and those who needed healed. He was good news for those in broken families. He was good news for those who had emotional needs and mental needs, for those with mental issues, mental health issues. He was good news. There was no other good news but him. He was the good news. He embodied the good news. And what he did was good news to the people who received him. And so the essence of the kingdom was that God's rule or God's reign is about to take a new turn. Jesus proclaimed the good news, and the essence of the kingdom is that now is the time for something to happen. This is what Jesus said. Now is the time. At last, now is the time. And you know, you scholars, that the Greek has two words for time. One is chronos, and the other is kairos. That's important that you understand what word Mark used here and what word Jesus said there. It's very important. If he said chronos, it was just, He was speaking about kind of time that you get in your watches or your clocks or your calendars, chronological time, earthly time. That's the word chronos. But he didn't use the word chronos. He used the word kairos. And kairos is a very powerful word. This word means a significant time, like a decisive moment, like a critical moment. Have you ever come in your life and there's time? Yeah, time to go to work, time to go to bed, time for that appointment, time for this and that. But have you ever had a kairos time in your life? Oh, this is a critical time. This isn't just about time. This is so critical. This is massive. This is urgent. This is a time not to be missed. Whatever you do, don't miss this. Whatever else you're doing, put it all down. And don't move this, don't miss this moment of time in your life, because your life will depend on it. It's a kairos moment. And in the world of medicine, you will often find that maybe in surgery, there's a kairos moment, a moment between life and death. We must address this moment. This is the moment. We've got to do something. We can't leave it any longer. And Jesus says, it's kairos time. The kingdom of God has come. This is the time. It's here. Don't miss it. Don't be sleeping when it comes. This is so mightily important for your life. This is what Jesus said when he came in to Galilee. At last, the fulfillment of the age has come, he said. It is time for the realm of God's kingdom to be experienced in all its fullness. Now, people of God regarded, which king did they regard as their greatest ever king? It was King David. King David was seen as Israel's greatest time. His rule was one of victory and abundance, and he conquered all his enemies. But this is a greater kairos moment that is going to burst into their lives. They thought that somebody like David would come, a king riding on a white horse and smash the enemies of Israel like the Romans. Oh, no, no. This is a greater king that is about to burst into their lives. And this king will not rule with swords and daggers, with armies and horses to bring down the enemies of the people. This is God's moment. This is God's king. This is God's son. This is God's time. This is the moment when God is going to break into places of darkness, where he is going to release people out of those areas of darkness. This is the time when God is going to break in with healing for the sick, where he is going to raise the dead, where he is going to bring freedom to those who are living with restrictions, shackled by sin and Satan. The king is not coming to defeat the enemies, such as the Romans. This king is coming to destroy the greatest enemy of all, and it's not Rome. This king is coming to destroy the works of the devil, to invade the kingdom of darkness, wherever it is to be found. Now, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is God bursting in to take over, to replace, to invade the kingdom of darkness, wherever it is. This is the kingdom of God that is present today. Not fully, as one day it will be, but it is present and working today. The church lives today in a culture of darkness where Satan has so much monopoly. When I started with the bad news, much of the bad news has its roots in Satan, in the devil, in sin. I can just mention a number of events recently in the papers, and you'll think, how could people, how could systems be so corrupt? The answer is they're so corrupt because the devil has been given by God a certain amount of freedom to do his work. But he calls the church to carry on the ministry of Jesus Christ and bring God's kingdom into the dark places. This is the time. This is our Kairos moment as a church. This may be a Kairos moment for you. You're sitting there and saying, what are you talking about? What's a Kairos moment for the church? What are you talking about? Well, let me try and explain it to you. The church has always lived in dark times. The church has always lived when people have had to suffer incredibly because they're Christians. But today, more than ever, the darkness is rising up in our own nation. Do you think the church is equipped today to address the darkness that she lives in? Do you think that the Church of Jesus Christ in the United Kingdom is addressing the darkness and the evil in the world that was meant to be invaded by the kingdom of God? I don't think so. I think the church, by and large, has been guilty of preaching a different kind of gospel than the one we find in the Bible. The good news of the kingdom is that you are a sinner and you need to turn from your sin and receive Jesus Christ. The message of the church is often, yeah, you're not very good, but if you get the right therapy and kindness in the church, you'll be all right. But don't call it out. You see, when Jesus said in his prayer, I want you to pray this, if you can get it with me. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. You say the next line. We pray that almost every Sunday. Your kingdom come. And I bet you quite a few of us haven't a skippy about what we just said there. Your kingdom come. It was a vague wish. Your kingdom come. Wouldn't it be nice? But the challenge is that we, West Hill Community Church, have reached a Kairos moment, as has the church in the West, to declare that the kingdom of God is here, and now is the time for that kingdom to destroy the works of darkness. Now is the time for that kingdom of God not just to be something that we say, but something that we do. The kingdom of God is not something we say, it's something we do. It's a doing word. The kingdom of God, the rule of God, the reign of God that lives in us is now to go into the dark places and declare there is a Messiah, a gospel There is good news for those who live in darkness. So you see, he proclaimed the good news with that essence of, with that sense of kairos moment. It's the shivery moment. Like, oh, this is the moment. The kairos moment. But it's not a kingdom of works. It was never for Jesus. It was a kingdom that was demonstrated. Now, with Jesus, you don't just see the kingdom of God being taught, like Jesus taught a lot about the kingdom through parables. But with Jesus, you see the rule of God being displayed through signs and wonders and miracles. And this is what, and this is why I love this translation. It gets it absolutely right when Jesus says in verse 14, it is time for the realm or the rule or the reign of God's kingdom to be experienced in its fullness. All that God is, all of his kingdom is to be experienced, not just analyzed. When I was at university all those years ago, I had to analyze the kingdom of God. And I won't bless you with my knowledge of the various people and books of reference that I had to use to analyze the kingdom of God. But by the end of the time that I'd analyzed the kingdom of God, through reading some of the commentators, I was so far away from what the Bible actually said that I began to doubt and have less knowledge about what the kingdom of God really was. You can analyze things, and it's not bad to have an analytical mind. But for the kingdom of God, it's the rule. You have to experience it for yourself. You have to experience it. And that is what Jesus said. You know, there is a lot of talk in the church, especially amongst evangelicals, of whom I am sort of one, about the kingdom of God. And we can explain what it means, and we can preach sermons about it, and how the Bible understands the phrase, the kingdom of God. But many of us, including myself, are silent when it comes to the demonstration part. You know, you get all this, the kingdom of God is here, and people say, well, where is it? Where is it? Now, there's a very important scripture that I want you to remember before you go home today. And it's 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20. It says this: the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. The kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. Now, what I think Paul is getting at is this, and it's very clear. The Greek for the word talk is talk. That's what it means, talk. And power is power, dunamis. And the kingdom of God was so central to all that Jesus did and said. And I know we are all for a proclamation. I think, I look out to you there and I think most of you, if not any one of you, could really talk about Jesus and talk about the kingdom. But the difference between me and Jesus is that when he talked about it, he then demonstrated it. When he says, the kingdom of God is about healing, be healed. Oh, the kingdom of God is about deliverance, be delivered. And there was a demonstration of that. And I know that there are times, and there are times, when we rejoice that we see some demonstration of God's rule here in our church and in our lives. We know that there are beacons of kingdom hope all over the place, seeking to proclaim and demonstrate. And maybe we are one of them who seeks to try and do that. But I believe that this is so important for us as a church, a Kairos moment, where we say, Lord, may your kingdom come, and may it be demonstrated among us. The rule, the power, the majesty of God. Now, we're not into navel gazing and looking at our own weaknesses and berating ourselves for our spiritual torpor or our lack of vitality in this area. We all know we could do better. We could do better in our own spiritual lives. We could do better as a church within this community. But there's something that's egging me, there's something that's itching at me that I don't get often, but when I get it, it never goes away until it happens. It's like there's a Kairos moment for our church, a real important moment where something is going to change. There's going to be a turn, there's going to be something. And it's not anything to do with structures or anything like that. This is spiritual. That God is going to do something. This is a Kairos moment, and don't you miss it. And don't you miss it. Because for us as a church, we know there is more. We know there is more of God for us to know and experience and understand. We know that there is more for us to do in sharing the kingdom of God and bringing the kingdom of God into the dark places that we are in this community, in the places where we serve, in the areas where we work, in our offices, wherever it might be, that you're a representative of the kingdom. And I believe God is up to something in these days. And he wants us to be part of something that is new. And it's not new in the sense that it's never happened before. It's new in the sense that it's fresh for us. That light shines brighter when things get darker. Light shines brighter when things get darker. And so the amazing thing for us is that this Kairos moment where God says, the kingdom of God is here and is to be experienced as well as proclaimed. And everything you do is in order for that kingdom to come in power. Whether it is serving in the cafe, whether it is in teaching the young people, whether it is standing on a cold night offering hot chocolate to kids, whether it is you going into an office and working as hard as you can, whatever it might be, wherever you go, everything you do is for the kingdom to come. And so when you say, thy kingdom come, we need to do two things with that. And Jesus reminds us, he says, exactly, this is what we need to do. We need to repent and believe. That's the two words he uses. Now, some of us are rightly saying that means in order to get into the kingdom of God, to come under the influence of God Almighty, within the kingdom, you must become like a little child and you must enter the kingdom. And you must repent and you must believe. There's no other way into the kingdom. Repent means not just being sorry for what you've done or what I have done. Repentance speaks of an internal change of your way of thinking. It is two parts, meta and noio. The second part refers to the mind and its thoughts and perceptions and its dispositions. And the first part, meta, is a prefix that regularly means to move, to change. So the word repentance is move, change, move your way of thinking. Repent, turn around. Stop thinking like that, because what you think leads to what you do. So stop doing that. Turn. And believe. And that word believe there is trust in that God. And if we were to relate that to the kingdom of God, we must repent of the way that we have ignored what it means to be in the kingdom of God. We must repent of all those ways of behavior that has stopped God from moving. We must repent of anything that is hindering the full reign of God coming into our lives and into the church. And we must believe. We must have a radical change of belief. So when we say the kingdom has come, it means the kingdom is here. God's rule is here. And it's come to us. The good news is for you. And we're going to do a wee bit of good news in a minute. The good news of God, the good news of the kingdom. God is here. We have to repent of things in our lives that are part of the very kingdom that God's kingdom is trying to destroy. All works of darkness in your mind, in your life, in your behavior, in your attitude. And believe in Jesus. Believe that he is here. Believe that the kingdom of God is here. Do you remember many years ago the March for Jesus? Anybody remember the March for Jesus that we did in Aberdeen? Graham Kendrick songs and all of that we sang. And we marched through the streets with banners. And we had, did you remember? We believe that the kingdom of God is here. We believe that the kingdom of God is here. And we walked through West Hill declaring, we believe that the kingdom of God is here. As long as I was marching out front, they didn't mind. They'll follow. We believe that the kingdom of God is here. Do we believe the kingdom is here? That God's rule is here? That God's power is here? That it's good news for the sick. It's good news for the weary. It's good news for those who feel shattered and shackled and broken. Lord, may your kingdom come. May your will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen.